1,000 people in the UK lost their lives. So how did the British react? What happened when the country was bombed for months on end? Did people get hysterical? Did they behave like brutes? Let me start with the eyewitness account of a Canadian psychiatrist. In October 1940, Dr. John McCurdy drove through southeast London to visit a poor neighborhood that had been particularly hard hit. All that remained was a patchwork of craters and crumbling buildings. If there was one place sure to be in the grip of pandemonium, this was it. So what did the doctor find moments after an air raid alarm? Small boys continued to play all over the pavements, shoppers went on haggling, a policeman directed traffic in majestic boredom, and the bicyclists defied death and the traffic laws. No one, so far as I could see, even looked into the sky. In fact, if there's one thing that all accounts of the Blitz have in common, it's their description of the strange serenity that settled over London in those months. An American journalist interviewing a British couple in their kitchen noted how they sipped tea even as the windows rattled in their frames. Weren't they afraid? The journalist wanted to know. Oh no, was the answer. If we were, what good would it do us? Evidently, Hitler had forgotten to account for one thing. The quintessential British character. The stiff upper lip. The wry humor as expressed by shop owners who posted signs in front of their wrecked premises announcing more open than usual. Or the pub proprietor who in the midst of devastation advertised, "Our windows are gone, but our spirits are excellent. Come in and try them." The British endured the German air raid much as they would the late train. Irritating, to be sure, but tolerable on the whole. Train services, as it happens, also continued during the Blitz, and Hitler's tactics scarcely left a dent in the domestic economy. More detrimental to the British war machine was Easter Monday in April 1941, when everybody had the day off. Within weeks after the Germans launched their bombing campaign, updates were being reported much like the weather. Very blitzy tonight. According to an American observer, the English get bored so much more quickly than they get anything else, and nobody's taking cover much any longer. And the mental devastation then? What about the millions of traumatized victims the experts had warned about? Oddly enough, they were nowhere to be found. To be sure, there was sadness and fury. There was terrible grief at the loved ones lost. But the psychiatric wards remained empty. Not only that, public health actually improved. Alcoholism tailed off. There were fewer suicides than in peacetime. After the war ended, many British would yearn for the days of the Blitz, when everybody helped each other out and no one cared about your politics, or whether you were rich or poor. British society became in many ways strengthened by the Blitz, a British historian later wrote. The effect on Hitler was disillusioning. When put to the test, the theory set forth by celebrated crowd psychologist Gustave Le Bon could hardly have been further off the mark. Crisis brought out not the worst, but the best in people. If anything, the British moved up a few rungs on the ladder of civilization. The courage, humor, and kindliness of ordinary people, an American journalist confided in her diary, continue to be astonishing under conditions that possess many of the features of a nightmare. These unexpected impacts of the German bombings sparked a debate on strategy in Britain. As the Royal Air Force prepared to deploy its own fleet of bombers against the enemy, the question was how to do so most effectively. Curiously, given the evidence, the country's military experts still espoused the idea that a nation's morale could be broken by bombs. True, it hadn't worked in the British, the reasoning went, but they were a special case. No other people on the planet could have matched the level-headedness and fortitude. Certainly not the Germans, whose fundamental lack of moral fiber meant they would not stand a quarter of the bombing the British endured. Among those who endorsed this view was Churchill's close friend, Frederick Lindemann, also known as Lord Chirwell. A rare photograph of him shows a tall man with a cane, wearing a bowler hat and an icy expression. In the fierce debate over air strategy, Lindemann remained adamant. Bombing works. Like Gustave Le Bon, he took a dim view of the masses, writing them off as cowardly and easily panicked. To prove his point, Lindemann dispatched a team of